left an audience in shock. But when he got through explaining that thing and defining that thing and unlocked our minds to that thing, I mean, the audience was rocking. But some jaws were tight and they wouldn't call on Elijah Muhammad. Do you know the apostle that Minister Farrakhan came out here and he was up there using all kinds of language in at Manual Arts High School? But one day we will go into that. How the white man is a bastard. How the white woman is a bitch. That's a dog. That's all it is. And how the children are sons of bitches. We'll go into that one day. From an academic, religious, and spiritual perspective. We'll stay away from the vulgar. All right? He taught that subject. How many were at Manual Arts when Minister Farrakhan taught that subject? Some as one, two, very few that were around at that time. Some have heard the tape. But today, the goddamn white man. That was even a book out called The Goddamn White Man. When Minister Malcolm X used to speak in Harlem, he used to speak on that famous corner, and the bookstore behind him had a big banner on the front of the store that said, The Goddamn White Man. God had damned, condemned, convicted, and sentenced the white man's world to hell. His dollar is in trouble. His dollar is not respected on the foreign market the way it used to be. Huh? The financial capitals and centers of the world, for the most part, were stationed in America, Wall Street and others. Now, of the 10, over 5, maybe 6, 7 or more, are now in Japan. America has fallen behind in technology, fallen behind in science, fallen behind in mathematics. Where she used to be the number one lender nation of the world, she is now the number one debtor nation of the world. She has a serious balance of payments deficit that runs into the trillion-dollar figure. Huh? And all her great, minds of economics and finance can't balance the books for America. America is coming down. America is falling. So the scripture says Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. She has become the habitation of devils. Huh? The hole of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This is that mystery Babylon that the book of Revelations is talking about that is now fallen. It is the habitation of devils. And God has condemned America, and the destruction of America is because of you. He's sending rain, irregular rain, snow, hail, and earthquakes today. Twisters and tornadoes today because of America's wicked mistreatment of God's chosen people that are here in the midst of this no good beast. So when God damns America, condemns America, you shouldn't get in the way. But some of you get angry. I can't go along with that. God has not condemned white people. That's so silly. You're the one that's silly. You should want God to step in and intervene for you. All the hell you've been catching from this crap. Over 400 years of slavery, suffering, and death. A strange fruit that hangs from the trees with blood at the root. Who was that, Bessie Smith or Billie Holiday? Used to sing it. Strange fruit in the south with on the trees with blood at the root. That strange fruit was the black man and the black woman hanging from the tree. Huh? Drowned us in the lakes, the rivers, the brooks, and the streams. Burned us alive. Cut our black women's stomachs open, pregnant, and snatched the babies from their stomach and crushed the baby under their boot heel. Tie horses and oxen to them while they're pregnant 8-9 months and beat the horses and make them run in opposite directions and tear a body apart so the black baby could fall from her. I'm talking about the goddamn white man. But some of you today You like a milquetoast, sissified, punkified kind of teaching where we're talking about, well, maybe we'll be able to get along together. After all, we do have a man running for president. Hell, that's all he's doing is running. It's a pursuit he'll never catch up with. This man should be run out of town by sundown. He should be running for the border. It's true. You never read where Jesus ran for Caesar's position. If he couldn't be Caesar, he wanted to be Vice Caesar. Moses, the great liberator who came saying, "Let my people go." You never read where Moses wanted to be Pharaoh. If I can't be Pharaoh, let me be Vice Pharaoh. If I can't be Pharaoh, not Vice Pharaoh, let me be head of the joint snakes of staff. You never heard where Moses wanted to do that. Moses came with a straight up message. Every time he went to blue eyed devil and beast. This never happened in Egypt. This never happened in Africa. This is prophetic. This is a prophecy in the Old Testament that is to be fulfilled at a later time through the New Testament and really through you and I here in this time that we're living in. No people, no 700,000, 800,000 white folks have ever been in bondage in black Egypt under a black pharaoh. That's the biggest lie that's ever been told. You can't find it in the museum. You can't find it in the history books there. You can't find it in the libraries there. You can't find it in the Medunetta or the hieroglyphics in any of the temples or on any of the walls. No white people been in bondage in Egypt under us while we would have eaten them alive. They had been in bondage under us for 400 years. You wouldn't even be able to recognize them now with all this dominant blackness coming from us. They'd be sitting right in here with us right now. We wouldn't know the difference. One might stand up and raise his hand up and say, "I'm here." But we don't expect that to happen because they weren't in bondage under us for 400 years. That represents our condition today. It's from the year 1555 to 1990 in a few minutes, I think. And we fit the Genesis prophecy of Genesis, the 15th chapter, the 13th, the 14th, and 15th verses of being in bondage in a strange land among a strange people, oppressed and afflicted for 400 years. We're the only people that fit that prophecy. The Chinese, the Vietnamese, the Japanese, the Greek, the Freak, none of them have been in bondage anywhere for 400 years except us. We're the only one. So that prophecy fits us to a T. But it's the white man who put us in this condition and is now trying to fool us today, giving us some token Negroes. Colin Powell is a token Negro. Jesse Jackson running for president is a token Negro. You can't get free by being president, fool. You got Uncle Tom Bradley. He's the mayor, isn't he? Look, I don't bite my tongue on these chumps. I don't. It's you, so diplomatic and so sissified. Well, he shouldn't talk about the honorable mayor that way. There's nothing honorable about that nigger. He's a white man's nigger. You tell him I said so. The honorable minister Louis Farrakhan came to this city to help fight drugs in this city, to help fight crime in this city, to bring the blue and the red together under the banner of the black man and woman. He came to help with the educational problem in this city. He came to help with black female dynamics and relationships in this city. He came to help the black community to rise up from the condition that we are in to a better financial and economic state in this city. But old Uncle Tom Bradley said, "We have no place for Louis Farrakhan in Los Angeles." And you want me to stand up here and be polite and courteous? Hell, somebody must call it just like it is. All praise is due to Allah. correct me if I'm wrong, but he wouldn't meet with his brother, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. He wouldn't even approve of Minister Farrakhan speaking at the Los Angeles Convention Center. They tried to block and destroy the contract when the minister was to come and speak at the convention center. But over 16,000 packed in. And you had some others outside. You had the Jewish Defense League outside, Irv Rubin and the boys. It had been a few weeks or months earlier, he had a rally out there in Jewtown calling for Minister Farrakhan's death. It was called a Death to Farrakhan Rally. Now, you can do that in some cities, and you might get away with it. But you can't do that in this city, not with me here, and not with some of us here. So this Jew turned up at the convention center. And when he turned up at the convention center and brought the bad JDL with him, the Jewish Defense League, came all up to the door where the tickets were being, or where the people were being let into the door and everything, came up haranguing the crowd and maligning and trying to vilify our leader, crying about anti-Semitism when he was practicing anti-Kemitism. Kemet means black, and anti-Kemitism is a position of anti-blackness. And so as an anti-Kemite, he came up to our door at the convention center, and we drove his behind into the streets, into the, off the sidewalk, and almost in the gutter. And he was bad when he was out in Jewtown. But we said, we heard that you called for the death of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Call for his death to our faith, punk, and we will kill you right here on the spot. It was on television. How many of you saw it on television? It was on the TV. And the bad Jewish Defense League, the bad Jewish Defense League with big Irv Rubin and the boys, pumped out and ran like sissies, and they had me on the news and questioned me. I say, well, they called for the death of Minister Farrakhan behind our backs. But to our face, I said, Irv Rubin ran like a little sissy out here. And so the white man who did the news, he said, the Jewish Defense League showed up here today at the Los Angeles Convention Center. And if they intended to make a strong showing here today, it was certainly muffled by the strong fruit of Islam forces outside. This is so-and-so, shadow so-and-so move. This is our great brother, Brother Rubin, who's a minister out in the San Bernardino area. Powerful organizer, powerful minister. He's back with us. He remembers when he was working on the staff of the Precinct Reporter newspaper out in what they call the Inland Valley, and the Klan shot our brother who is here today. I just saw him come in. Where is he? There he is, Brother Dubber. Shot our brother. He was working for the telephone company. Hold your hand up, brother. Right in the center, right under the clock. He wasn't in the Nation of Islam then, or he didn't know it. He wasn't registered then, but he was a Muslim, because all black people are Muslim by nature. Has nothing to do with the Holy Quran, has nothing to do with a place called Mecca. Muslim means one who submits his or her will entirely to do the will of God, and that's what we should be striving to do. A Muslim is the one who strives toward righteousness, strives toward the principles of Ma'at. Huh? That's a Muslim. If you don't believe in no religion, then a Muslim is one who is in tune with the divine, universal, and cosmic order of things. That's what a Muslim is. So all black people are Muslim by nature. But the white man is a rebel by nature. As Public Enemy says, he's a rebel without a pause. He never ceases to be rebellious. He's not a rebel without a cause. He's a rebel without a pause. Never stops. He has a rebellious, concupiscent nature to always go against whatever God's law is. God said, thou shalt not. The white man said, oh, gee, try it. You'll like it. Anything God says thou shalt not do, the white man says it's all right to do it. And you'll find him doing it, and he'll make everybody under his rule do what he's doing. The Bible said he would take and his tail and sweep the third part of the stars of heaven under his influence. Another scripture in the Bible says he would deceive even the very elect of God. That the elect of God would be deceived by the devil. Now you know this is a cold-blooded beast. I'm talking about this goddamn white man. That's who I'm talking about. Who am I talking about? Who? The goddamn white man. That one that God has condemned. His world must come down. And if we continue in our unrighteousness, in our deviation from God's law and God's will, and we continue to follow God's adversary and his enemy, then we go down to hell with the white man. It is only our righteousness and uprightness that will sustain us. God will not spare us if we stay with the white man in his inordinate behavior. That's the only way that it can be done. Are you with me? We're going to wrap it up in a few minutes. We're going to cover just a few more points. There's just so much to say about the goddamn white man. I mean, it's hard to say a word and leave him alone. Because he never leaves us alone. Never leaves us alone. I was talking about Uncle Tom Bradley a second ago. I don't want to leave Tom alone. Can you imagine his nephew and his niece, when they see him, they say, "Oh, here's Uncle Tom. Mom, Dad, Uncle Tom is here. Oh, I'm so happy to see you, Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom, how are things down at City Hall?" Don't you think that's what his nephew and his nieces call him, Uncle Tom? Well, I can call him Uncle Tom if they call him Uncle Tom. It's a family thing. He's a part of the family. He's just the white sheep of the family, that's all. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it the consulate general of the illegitimate, illegal, no good, low down, so-called Republic of South Africa, the apartheid system, that was on a visit here, diplomatic visit to Los Angeles? You correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Uncle Tom, Mayor Uncle Tom, Honorable Tom, didn't Honorable Tom give him the key to the city? Maybe I'm wrong and got it mixed up. Maybe it was his assistant, Bill Elkins. And Uncle Tom was in the shower for several hours and didn't know what happened. Didn't Mayor Bradley give the representative from South Africa the key to the city? Didn't he roll out what they call the red carpet for him? You mean you can welcome a representative, a white, racist, cold-blooded cracker, a beast who kills black men, women, children, and babies every day over diamonds and gold and rubies and land in South Africa? A handful of crackers ruling not even 5 million crackers ruling 40 million black people have kept our brother Nelson Mandela in jail all these years, decades, and hurt deeply, but has made her a strong revolutionary woman and a beautiful example, Sister Winnie Mandela, and the babies who are now grown up into young black princes who are great revolutionaries and warriors. The key members of ANC and PAC in prison all these years and just killed us in Soweto. The Sharpeville Massacre. And you mean the Honorable Uncle Tom can give a cracker who represents South Africa the key to the city and sit down at a banquet with the devil and give him a commendation from the city, but he can't respect his brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? I'm talking about the goddamn white man and his goddamn Uncle Tom, who's going to hell with him if he continues. That's what I'm talking about. Let me get loose here. Not that kind of loose. Look at Jesse Jackson. Messy Jackson. Here's a nigger that won't be seen with Minister Farrakhan in public. He'd see Minister Farrakhan coming in a hotel. He's in the hotel lobby. He'd see him coming and see news cameras around. He'd turn around and run and go in the other direction. He just saw him briefly for a few minutes, greeted him at an event in Chicago. But for years, did you know he hasn't met with Minister Farrakhan? All these years since 84? Did you know that? That all these years since 84, he has not been man enough, black man enough, strong enough to go and reach out to his brother and say, brother, this cold-blooded beast, the goddamn white man, has put a wedge between us. And I like the way you handle me in the public, Minister Farrakhan. You've been a great statesman. You've been a great diplomat. You could have, with the power of your tongue, you could have destroyed me all over America. But instead, Minister Farrakhan, you have never done this to me. Brother, I thank you for just being a brother to me when I haven't been a brother to you. But he hasn't done that. Not one time has he done it. Negro that you wear his picture and his buttons and talk about a rainbow coalition. You talking about rainbow and the white man is talking about Rambo. You clowning and the white man is cloning. You doing the moonwalk and the white man is walking on the moon. There ain't no comparison. This same handkerchief head Negro Jesse Lewis Jackson, who can't meet with his brother, Minister Farrakhan, not even in the basement, in the closet. But isn't he the same handkerchief head nigger that met with old no good George Wallace in Alabama, shook his nasty, slimy, dirty, diseased, racist hand, hugged the cracker in front of everybody? And George Wallace said, segregation yesterday, segregation today, and segregation tomorrow. George Wallace said, a nigger is a nigger is a nigger is a nigger, and keep the nigger in his place. George Wallace called out the troops, city police, county police, state police, National Guard, to keep black men, women, and children out of high schools and elementary schools and out of college. This no good George Wallace, but George Jesse Jackson can't meet with Louis Farrakhan, but he can meet with George Wallace? No, no good, Jesse. No good. No good. Too strong. Too black, too strong. Too black, too strong. He couldn't get it out of them, but he had you running around here calling yourself a minority. I'm talking about the goddamn white man. And you were running around here, well, the minority problem. We're studying the minority situation, minority trends. Fool, you're not no damn minority. You outnumber the white man 196,940,000 square miles of the planet Earth. 12-1, you outnumber the white man. It's the white man who's the minority. You are the majority. You're the majority. The white man is the minority. But you let the goddamn white man pull the wool over your silly eyes. Who told you you were the minority? What white man? What white man? Told you were a minority and you outnumber him 11-12-1. The minority. Then here comes Stepping Jesse. Stepping Jesse. Amos or Andy. Spanky. Not Spanky, Buckwheat. Here comes Buckwheat. It's morning time. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. We should take on the name African American. And now you're running around, you're an African American. Do you know you have been every damn thing there is? You've been Negro with a small N, because white folks wouldn't let you spell it with a capital N. You put capital Negro on an application, you didn't get that, and you probably wasn't going to get it no way, but you sure wasn't going to get it if you spelled Negro with a capital N. Then he let us spell it with a capital N, Negro with a small N, Negro with a capital N. Some of us, sometimes he just called us straight up niggers. Huh? We were colored. Some of us still colored. Some of us still taking care of colored folks' business. Huh? Some of us still act colored. And we don't know how to deal with a black woman or a black man. When a black man or a black woman stands up in the midst of colored people, they try to eat him alive. Try to eat her alive. Because they know that if it's black in the midst of that which is colored, it ain't going to be long before that black is going to dominate the colored. And the colored is going to become black. All praise is due to Allah. This is the place. This is the place. We anticipate just a few more weeks, maybe a month or two more, we have to get out of here. We won't be able to meet it anymore. We all out in the hall, all in the kitchen. We everywhere. This place is too small. We need a place back on the Crenshaw Street. But you want to go back to Crenshaw? It's the main business artery that runs through the black community. Huh? It's our Broadway. Is that right? Well, hell, you better hurry up because the Koreans is eating it up like Pac-Man. I mean, they eating it up. Putting them funny symbols up there, boy. You don't know what the hell they saying? You can't read the menu. You can't read the shoe sizes or nothing. Messing over us in the swap meets and everywhere. Are we going to be everybody's nigger? No, the white man's nigger. No, the Chinese's nigger. No, the Japanese's nigger. No, both the Vietnamese over in Vietnam, they hadn't done nothing to us. Fighting them for the white man, American white man. The British white man had jumped on them. The French white man had jumped on them. They kicked the French white man behind. They kicked the British white man behind. Then we went over there with them and they kicked the American white man behind. We losing our life for the white man. Malcolm used to say, here lies a black man who got killed or died while fighting for a white man against a yellow man. I mean, it's silly. But even the Vietnamese came over here and got ahead of her. Started opening up stuff everywhere. Now the Koreans and everybody. That's the only question I have in Brother Spike Lee's movie. I love that brother. And Do the Right Thing was powerful. But I'm wondering why he gave the Koreans such a break in the movie. Remember he had that line in there where he said, leave the Korean alone. He's all right. Well, how in the hell is the Korean all right? What makes him all right? Huh? Then he showed the Korean running behind the police car, beating on the police car, like he's really empathizing with us. That's the only thing I got a question, Brother Spike, of. Everything else was A-OK and absolutely all right. He was on it. He was doing the right thing. But to give the Koreans that much credit, I don't know what that purpose was. We're talking here today, for those who are just coming in, about the goddamn white man. That one that God has condemned, that his world is to come down, and that he is now to raise up his people. And the way he will raise up his people, the black people, is that he will give them a guide, give them a warner, give them a messenger, give them a freedom fighter, give them a revolutionary who is divinely guided, who is from God himself, who God has his hand on that man, set that man in the midst of the people, and that man becomes a fountain of wisdom in the midst of the people. When I mentioned Brother Delbert Howard, he understands what Almighty God is doing with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan in our midst, because as I was saying earlier, when we saw on TV that he, who had never been among us before, never been to a meeting, we didn't even know him, but when we saw that he worked for the telephone company and he's up on the Poe working for the company, telephone company, and the Klan came by and shot him in the back and paralyzed him from the waist down. He's in the wheelchair back there now, but he's a strong black man. When we saw that, it was just like it was one of us that we knew every day. We rounded up all of the men on short notice, didn't we? We had a caravan almost long as the Nile River looking for us some Ku Klux Klan. We just had a taste for Klan that day, not clams. We had a taste for Klan that day. And we went looking for the Klan. And we ultimately found the Klan. Some of it can be talked about, some of it can't be talked about. Some of it has been told, and other parts of it ain't gonna never be told. And those who know won't say, and those who say probably won't know what they're talking about. But on national television, we met the Ku Klux Klan. Over him, he's in the courtroom, and we went to put protection on him and the NAACP president out in that area, Reverend Dunstan. And brother was with the Precinct Reporter newspaper then, Minister Rubin here. And we went out, nose to nose with the Klan, pumped them out absolutely. I can't even tell you the kind of machinery we had hooked up for them. I can't even tell you the stuff that we had waiting in the wings and the stuff we had everywhere waiting for the Klan. But they could tell what we had. I couldn't even believe they were the Ku Klux Klan. You know, you have all these images of the Klan. They were thick, burly, pot-bellied, beer-bellied peckerwoods. That tall. I thought when we showed up, we were going to have to start rumbling right then. We had a contingent of men in vans and trucks and jeeps. They had one command, and that was to watch the flow of the crowd, feel the spirit of things. And if anything broke out with AK-47s and Uzis and automatic weapons or whatever the Klan broke out with, or if the police got in it for the Klan, they had one command. And that they were the craziest drivers we had. We had been observing them for a long time. And we didn't have no drivers crazier than them. And their objective was, when it broke out, was to put the pedal to the metal. Hit the sidewalk like you on the Santa Monica or the San Bernardino freeway. Rip through the crowd. Make a left turn, make a right turn. If you miss anything, put it, throw it in reverse and put the metal to the pedal to the metal, and back up over track. And while they're cleaning this sidewalk, somebody else gonna be cleaning that sidewalk. And we knew we had each squad prepared. We came in at all different points of the courthouse. They looked up and saw us coming in the front, and they got prepared, and somebody said, "This shit, like, hurry my heart." They looked behind, we were coming from behind. We had the left flank covered, the right flank covered, from before them and behind them. And then we had the vans, the trucks, and the jeeps. We didn't figure they had made an AK-47 or an Uzi that would stop these mad brothers that were going to rip through them crowds and sweep the sidewalk. They call them weapons street sweepers. We had the real street sweepers with us. And we had our instructions on how to get the hell out of the way when the trucks were coming through, when the vans were coming through. And when the crackers started scattered in the street, we had another group of street sweepers that were supposed to take all lanes in the street like a parade and just drive straight through the crowd down the middle of the street. You see, we're looking for black men who are willing to fight this peckerwood. We've got to make sure that they hear the voice of the Messiah, the black Messiah. We've got to make sure that they know that the commander in chief is on scene, and point them to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, who has been shaped for this hour by Almighty God Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and his Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We've got to point them to him. Spike Lee pointed them to Minister Farrakhan in Do the Right Thing. He made all who came bear witness that Minister Farrakhan is right. He said it in the movie.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And he made the white man say, you know, Farahad, Farahad, you know, the one who teaches that black people are going to rule again one day. And Spike Lee, as Mookie, he said, Minister, you mean Minister Farrakhan. This is in Do the Right Thing. He said, Minister Farrakhan is right. Is that what he said? What were you doing, Spike? I'm pointing the people to the man that they should be focusing on today. That's what I'm doing. And in the background, you could hear Chuck D, Flavor Flav, Professor Griff in the S1W, pumping it up with fight the powers that be. And I saw it in the papers yesterday where they're attacking Public Enemy again over their piece, Terror Dome. And an old Jew, imposter Jew, from the Simon Wiesenthal Center, or the Wiesenthal Center here in Los Angeles, and another old Jew from the civil rights, so-called Jew, from the civil rights division of the Anti-Defamation League. They are attacking Chuck D, Professor Griff, Flavor Flav, and the S1Ws for some lines in there that they say are anti-Semitic. I want you to help me, anyone that has context. I want to see if we can have black Jewish dialogue. I would like to get this old Rabbi Abraham Cooper of the Simon Wiesenthal Center and the other old devil from the Anti-Defamation League and a few others, maybe a couple of black preachers and some of the civil rights organization leaders, and we have a black Jewish dialogue. And I would like to raise these issues with these Jews. I ain't cutting no corners. I ain't spared nothing and ain't taking no prisoners at all. Discuss the question of the chosen people. Discuss Minister Farrakhan, the so-called Hitler's wickedly great gutter religion and all of this, that Judaism is a gutter, all the things that they always charge him with. I would like to have that kind of dialogue with them. I'd like to be able to discuss Public Enemy's new release, Terror Dome. I'm on their album, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back and Fight the Powers That Be, on both of those. I'd like to be on the same stage with these damn so-called Jews and the Negroes who support them and back them up. We're going to try to have it at Juicy LA, if we can. If we can't have it at Juicy LA, we'll perhaps have it at USC. One of these respectable institutions of lower learning. We will be able to have it there, perhaps, a lot worse. The scripture says they are the murderers of the prophets and the murderers of the saints of God. Right. Calls them Satan, the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, and by many other names. The Bible says that Satan, the devil, like a roaring lion, goes to and fro and up and down in the earth, seeking whom he can devour. And it talks about how he would oppress and afflict the righteous and oppose God himself. But he would only be given a limited time to do this, and his time is now up. And the delay is based on our resurrection and our rise. That's where we are at this time. Brothers and sisters, I could go on, but I want to stop at this point. I thank you for being as attentive as you have been. But I want you to understand that the problems that we face as a people, they stem from the condition that white people have put us in. We can't dwell on that, though. We must get up now and do something for ourselves to get out of this condition. Because the white man can't continue to rule us if we will not allow him to. Frederick Douglass said that the limits of a tyrant based on how much the oppressed is willing to allow the tyrant to continue to oppress them. Huh? That power concedes nothing without a demand. That's the position that we are in as a people. We must stop the hand of Satan and Satan's influence in our lives and get up from this condition. But to the young brothers who are here, I say to you, as I say always, that the color is not red. Your enemy does not wear red. Your enemy does not wear blue. Your enemy wears white, even if he doesn't have anything on. Your enemy wears white. And the color is not red, the color is not blue, but the color is black. That's your color. Remember what he did to the Indians. He sold the Indians wagon loads of rifles and weapons and guns and ammunition. He sold them wagon loads of fire water and liquor and whiskey. And though the pipe was a sacred symbol, a religious symbol, he took the pipe and perverted its use and gave them some kind of drug in the pipe. He had the Indian on the pipe. Yeah, the Indian was on that thing, man. He had the Indian on the pipe. And then when they got high off of them pipes and that fire water, they had all the weapons and ammunition they needed, and the Indians turned on each other. It wasn't black on black crime. I guess the sociologists would call it red on red crime. Had the Indians killing each other. Remember that. Who was it that sold the Indians the guns? Who sold them the weapons, the ammunition? Who gave them the dope? Who gave them the fire water? Who? Has God condemned him? Is that what damn means? That God has condemned him to hell and to death and is bringing his world down, but it's time for you to wake up, clean up, and stand up, black man and black woman. This is your day to wake up, clean up, and stand up. Young brothers in the game, who is it that gives you the weapons today? Who gives you the weapons today? Who gives them the weapons? Who gives them the crack and the ice and the other drugs? It's not us. Dope comes in on trucks and trains and boats and planes, and we ain't even got a damn canoe. Oh, you know it ain't us. So the dope comes from who? The conflicts and the disputes come from who? Don't you let this cracker tell you that he was always in unity and in harmony? Europe was born out of tribalism and war and gangs and conflict. No matter what it is, where the dynamic exists of black and white, no matter what kind of system, no matter where it is in the world, the white man is on top, the white woman is on top, and the black man and the black woman is on the bottom. He's just a goddamn white man. He can't help himself. And you can't change the white man. He was born to do what he did. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said the circumstances by which a thing comes into existence and comes to birth determines the nature of that thing. And he was born out of the murder of black people. He was born out of the discrimination of black people. And so he will always be that way. You can marry Bob if you want to. You can marry Bill if you want to. You can marry Larry. You can marry Susie, Ron Whipple, and Kathy, and Debbie DeVerini, and Miss Schumacher, and the rest of them. But you are married to nothing but a no-good, low-down beast, a blue-eyed devil. I'm talking to you about who? Who? Thank you for listening as I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. The goddamn white man. The goddamn white man. The goddamn white man.